I've said in my word that you are not to be weary in well doing, and that if you faint not, that you will reap what you sow. And I told you in my word that if you'll sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life. And if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap the destruction that comes with that type of sowing. And so I would speak to you tonight to encourage you. Keep sowing to your spirit. Where you see, there are many in your midst who have not been sowing to their spirit, but instead have sown to their flesh. Now, this does not mean that they have sown sin. It just means that they have not sown to their spirit, but they have sown to their flesh. This is one reason why that so many have encountered and are experiencing so many difficulties in their lives. So I would just remind you, sow to your spirit. And then out of your spirit, you will reap the things that will enable you to overcome the flesh.
Oh, hear what the Lord would say. Oh, hear what the Lord would say unto you this day. I am your everything, I'm your everything. I always hear you when you call me. I always hear you when you call me. My arm is not too short. My arm is not too short to meet your need. I always hear you when you call me. Do not think that I do not hear your petitions. Do not think that I do not hear your prayers. I hear you, but I need your heart. I need your heart to be given over unto me, all the way, not just part of the way, but all the way, 100%. I need your whole heart. I need your whole heart given over unto me. Give over even those areas of your life that you've held back from me. The little corners of your heart that you have said, no, Lord, you can't come here. No, Lord, you can't have this place in my heart. I need all your heart. I need every bit of your heart, 100%. I will help you by my Spirit, by my Holy Spirit living and ministering in you. I will help you. I will help you in your emotions to give up these places in your heart that you've held back from me. I will help you, but you must first be willing to give it over unto me. You must be willing. I will not violate your will. I am God, but I have said at the moment of creation, I have said from the very beginning of my word, that I have given you dominion in this earth and in this life. I will not violate your will. I will not do it. But I do so desire. I so desire for every part of your heart to be given over unto me. Because as you do give yourself to me completely, oh, what wondrous works I will work through you. As I did through my Son, Jesus, when he was on this earth, because his heart was completely mine, it was completely given over to me, I would be able to work through you the way I did through my Son in this earth. And that is my desire, oh my children, that is my desire, to work the works that I worked through my Son, through you, so that when you do lay hands on the sick, they do recover. So that when you speak to the mountain, it has to move. But I need your whole heart. I need your whole heart for these things to be accomplished. Nothing held back. Nothing held back. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. I love you. You don't even know. You do not even begin to comprehend the love that I have for you, my children. I love you with a love that is everlasting. I love you with a love that is so deep, it cannot be measured. It cannot be measured by any human standard. Cannot be. But I love you just the same. And I love this world. I love these others that are lost and have not come yet. I love them. I sent my Son to die for them. I sent my Son to die for every human soul that's ever come to this earth. Jesus came for everyone. And I want them to come into my house. I want them to become a part of my family. I want to be their father. But I need you. I need you. I need you to sell out to me so that I can use you. I'm not saying that you will have the call of evangelist on your life, but you have the call to minister my truth to anyone you come into contact with. Every day of your life, you come into contact with people. Sometimes people you've never met before. But you have the ability. You have the possibility of planting the seed, a tiny seed even, of my word into someone's life. Oh, seek me, says the Spirit of God. Seek me so that you are open to hear my voice when I tell you. Speak to that one. Just say a little thing. Just speak a little bit of my truth into their heart. I want you to be at that place where you will hear me so that you can be obedient unto me. I want you to hear my voice. But you have to sell out to me. You have to come away. You've got to spend time with me. You have to be in my presence. You have to learn to hear my voice so that I can lead you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is my desire. I want you to minister to this world, to the lost and the hurting, those that are bound up. You have the power within you. It was given unto you when you were filled with the Holy Ghost. You have the power. Now just give your heart over unto me 100% so that I can trust you with more power, that I can trust you. It's trust. I have to be able to trust you with the power that I give unto you. Your heart has to be mine, completely mine. Oh, how I long. Oh, how I long to use you. How I long to pour my power and my spirit through you to the lost and dying of this world. Hear me now. Hear me now, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Give yourself to me 100%, and I will do it. I will do it.
My grace truly is sufficient. It truly is sufficient for everything in your life. But you have not been taught a doctrine of grace. You have been taught a doctrine of works and recompense. And so, instead of leaning on my grace, you have leaned to your works. And you have expected me to move in your life because of your works. And many times you have wondered, how come I didn't do this or I didn't do that? Because after all, you had done such and such. And while I appreciate your works and I appreciate those things that you do for me, it is extremely important for you to understand that it is my grace which is sufficient. I did not say in my word that your works are sufficient. I said that my grace is sufficient. And people have so misinterpreted my grace to simply mean the mercy and the love that I have for you. Well, my grace is those things, but it is more. For you see, my grace is sufficient for you in every area of your life. And I said in my word that it is according to my grace and your faith that you are saved. Therefore, since I have said that my grace is sufficient for you and for everything, everything in your life, then that means that you must access my grace through faith, not through your works. For if you try to access my grace through your works, you will not get results. Yes, your works are important, and yes, you do need to serve me. But it is by faith that you access my grace. Therefore, to those of you that have been living for so long in disappointment, wondering how come I have not moved and acted and done and produced, you have now understood one of the reasons why you have not seen the results. It is because you have tried to work your way into my grace instead of faithing your way into my grace. If you would learn to trust me more than you trust your own works, then you would be able to start walking in a realm of my grace and see me move. So consider your life and consider the things that you have done and consider how in the past that you have tried to get me to move in your life. And then also consider what I have said to you, how that this day I have shown you that the only way that you're going to be able to access the sufficiency of my grace to meet every need in your life is through faith. So go back and re-examine the things that you have believed about me, about works, about faith, and about grace. Turn to my word. Let me reveal to you more about me and about my grace than you've ever known. And then, when you by faith begin to move into my grace, it is in that place of my grace where you will find the sufficiency you need to accomplish all you are to do. There are those of you who have looked to churches which have been built by works, not by faith and grace. You've looked on the outside and you have seen results. And the results that you've seen, you've believed, were produced by a great move of me. But I want you to know, I look beyond the size of the building and the size of the property, and I look beyond the programs, I look beyond the number of the staff members, I look beyond all the outreach programs, I look beyond all of the access, use of media. I look beyond all of these things. I see what's really going on. I see it in a way that you don't. I see it in a way that I will not totally show to others. But I know the difference between a church built by works and a church built by grace and faith. And I want you to know this day that a church built by grace and faith takes much more diligence than a church built by works. But you see, there are so many in my body who are accustomed to churches built by works. That they now look for churches that have the works. Because they believe that is the thing that is supposed to be done. But again, I would remind you of what I said. My grace is sufficient, not your works. For you see, if a church is built through grace and faith, it will be built the way I want it. If programs are developed through grace and faith, they'll be the programs I want. If staff members are hired through grace and faith, they'll be the staff members I want. But too often, more than you could begin to understand or realize, the churches that you see, they're churches of works, not grace and faith. Oh, they preach my name. And they tell people about me. And some of these churches, they'll tell people about the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But they still have not learned how to operate by grace and faith. Hear me this day. I want to teach you grace and faith. I want your lives to be built upon grace and faith. I want everything that you do for me to be done through grace and faith. I implore you this day, turn your faces and your eyes away from the churches and the ministries that have been built by works. But you would ask, how will I know the difference? And I say to you, you'll know the difference by my Spirit. You'll know the difference by the revelation that you receive from my Spirit. There are those of you who are in this place who have had times of frustration, wondering what is happening here, wondering why this didn't take place and this isn't going on. Well, as I have just spoken to you, it is much more difficult to build a church through grace and faith than it is through works. For you see, if you put forth the right kind of works, you are going to appeal to a lot of people, and they'll come. But if you focus on grace and faith, you won't appeal to as many people. Because you see, too many in my body have hard hearts and hard ears, closed, eyes that are hard towards seeing. Oh, they love me as much as they understand, but they are convinced that it is the works that will produce the grace and the sufficiency for the accomplishment of my will. And I have even said that yes, there is a reward for someone who even gives cold water to one of my servants who thirsts. But there is so much more. If you will be diligent in your walk with me, if you will not let yourself get caught up with the works that you see in other churches and ministries, but if you will keep yourself in the area of faith and grace, then you will see me move. It is through the faith and the grace that you will be establishing a spiritual platform from which I will be able to demonstrate myself. And I would say to you that it is possible for things to change even suddenly, for things to happen amazingly fast, but that would be suddenly and amazingly to you. But I say, the more that you operate in faith and grace, The more you are preparing a place for my habitation, and the more you are getting ready for an incredible move of my Spirit, do not get tired. Do not throw up your hands. Do not see failure, but instead see perseverance. And you purpose in your heart. Do not turn your back. Purpose in your heart to keep going forward. Purpose in your heart patience. And keep accessing my grace through faith. And you'll see things happen. I tell you, you will see things happen. And if you'll do this, the day will come when you will look back and you will say, yes, it was worth it. You'll say, it seemed like we were going through a dry area. But you'll realize that that dry area consisted of spiritual preparation, spiritual battles, and spiritual victories. And the day will come. Oh, I say to you, the day will come. I will move. But I would remind you, it is through you I will move. And this is why you must stay focused in the area of my grace and faith. Look unto me. For I have said, for I am the author and the finisher of your faith. So keep on. Don't stop. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't get frustrated. Don't get down. I see more than you. And I know the beginning from the end. And I can tell you that you are on a path toward great things. So keep going. Keep going. My grace, your faith, it will happen.
You've seen the destructive forces of nature. You've seen what it can do. You can see how it can bring about havoc, how it can destroy. You've seen what happens when the earth gives way to pressure. I would like to remind you of what you have seen in recent days. You saw the earth shake. You saw it move. You saw it break. And you saw the results. And the results were massive waves of water swept over the land and brought about great destruction and great death and great devastation. Now hear what I would say to you. That thing which you have seen in the natural did not happen overnight. For you see, it took hundreds of years of pressure before the earth finally gave way to that pressure. And the result were the massive waves of water that brought about the destruction. Now hear me and pay attention to that which you have seen. As you continue to pray in the Spirit, you are putting ever increasing pressure upon your flesh, and that pressure is mounting. And it is mounting, and it is mounting. And the day is coming when your flesh is going to break apart. And when it does, it is going to release waves of my glory that will begin to wash over the things of wickedness and the things of sin. And it will bring destruction to the camp of the enemy. And it will tear down strongholds. It will be waves of my glory, which will sweep throughout this land. It will sweep throughout your church, through your communities, through your families. It will be waves and waves and waves of my glory that will be released from deep within the realms of your spirit, because you have continued to apply pressure to the flesh until the flesh no longer could stand up to the pressure of my glory and my anointing, and my glory will be released through you, and it will come to pass, says the Lord, if you will stay in my presence, if you will continue to pray, if you will give yourself over to me. For the flesh cannot stand up to the pressure of my spirit, says the Lord. Do not mourn for those that have turned their backs. Do not mourn. Do not cry. For what seems to you to be a sudden thing, to me has been a time coming. You see the outward manifestation of what I have been seeing for quite some time in the Spirit. You may be sad, you may be disappointed, but do not mourn. And here's why. If you mourn for those who have turned their back, then you will allow yourself to get distracted from where I'm leading you. Now, I did not say that you're never to pray. What I said is that you are not to mourn. Well, you see, these things have been spoken and these things have been made known to you even before they happened. So really, it should come as no surprise to you what you will see. Prepare your hearts. Strengthen yourselves in me. And do not mourn over those who turn their back. You see, I work in a person's life as much as they allow me. And there are far too many who are expecting me to move without seeking me. There are far too many who are just living their lives thinking that I am just going to drop into their life with some sort of special anointing or visitation. Oh, I could do that. But it won't change what's happening inside them. For you see, the thing that is in them that has caused them to turn their back, and those that will, that thing must be purged. For it will only be a matter of time, it will happen again. This is why it is so important for you to continue to seek me. This is why it is so important for you to stay in my presence. For the things that would be in you that could cause you to turn, could cause you to go away, could cause you to miss me, those things will be purged and removed out of you if you stay in my presence. For some, it's a slow transition. For some, your eyes will suddenly be opened and you'll see what I've been seeing. But take heart. I have known all along what was going to happen. And I already have a plan for it. Trust me. Trust me to work my plan in you and in your midst. Just trust me. I know the beginning from the end, and I am surprised by nothing. You've been walking quite some time now, and it doesn't look like that there's much of a future for you. You just can't see anything ahead. The Lord says you're about to turn a corner, and when you do, all of a sudden you're going to see something that you've never seen before. And what you're going to see is a future. It's a future that God's had planned for you. The emptiness and the nothingness that you've been looking at now for quite some time, this hasn't been God's plan. Because His plan for you does not contain emptiness or nothingness. He said you're about to turn a corner and you're going to see the future. You're going to see His plan for you. Now, it's going to require change, but you're more ready for the change than what you know. You feel unprepared. You feel unequipped. You feel like that you're not ready for much of anything. But when you turn this corner, you're going to realize that you're more ready, more equipped, and more prepared than what you thought. And it's going to be very exciting for you. The change itself, you're going to have mixed emotions over that. But once you turn that corner, you're going to feel like you have stepped into a whole new life. Once you turn that corner, you're going to feel like that something new, brand new, has happened. And whatever pain that you've experienced while walking toward the emptiness is going to be eclipsed by the joy that you're going to experience once you make this turn. Now, you'll have memories of the past, but you're not going to remember the discomfort, not the way you felt it. You'll remember that you had it, but the way it felt on the inside, you're really not going to remember that. You'll just know it was there. And you're going to get so caught up in this new thing, this plan, this direction, this new direction, you're going to feel like you have walked into an area of me that you just didn't think possible. It's not going to be a whole lot longer, and this is going to happen. So keep walking by faith, taking me at my word, and get ready. Get ready. Your heart has been pierced sharply, and you've had a lot of pain. The healing is coming. It may not come the way that you have thought or hoped, because your thinking, your feelings, your hopes for the healing have been based upon what you'd really like to see. And it isn't that your desire has been wrong, but you must remember that I do know the future. And so therefore, the future that you're hoping for, it's not going to happen. But the future that is going to happen includes the healing from the pain. The healing is going to leave a scar, but it's not a bad scar. You see, it's never my will for people to go through pain. But when things happen that bring it to pass, then I will take it and I will turn it and I will use it. And I'm going to use you. The scar won't be a hurtful thing, and it won't interfere with your life in any way, shape, or form. But you're going to be encountering some people who will have experienced the same thing, a similar type of circumstances, similar type of pain. And I'll be able to use you to minister to them, because they will have hardened their hearts to hear from anybody else. So when you say, "Hey, I've been through that," then suddenly they're going to stop and they're going to listen to you. And you are going to be able to impart to them what I will speak through you. And you'll be able to minister healing to them in a way that I am ministering healing to you. You cannot soften a hardened heart. Please stop trying. You see, there are those, some of you, it's someone close. Their heart is hardened. And they are not going to receive from you. And you have been trying to soften their heart. You've been trying to have an impact on them. You've been trying to do something to bring about the change. Well, it's time you quit. Now, this doesn't mean that you just don't pray. What it means is, open your eyes and look. Open your eyes and look. You haven't produced the change in them to this point. Please pay attention to that. You're not going to bring the change. You are not going to soften their heart. They have hardened themselves to you and to almost anything of me that you would speak to them. And it's out of your love and your compassion and your desire to see things right that you have continued to try to bring about the change. Now I'm telling you, because I love you, to stop. Just stop. You're not going to do it. You've got to leave this up to me. Because as long as you keep trying to bring about the change, it's holding you back. As long as you keep trying to soften their heart and change their way of thinking, it's holding you back. You can't afford to let this happen. Please remember that even my mother and my brothers at one time questioned some of what was happening in me and what I was doing. And I would remind you of my brother James. He rejected me until I visited him personally after my resurrection. So I'm saying, stop. Leave them alone. Just stop. If you want to lift them up in prayer to me, that's fine. You can do that. But I'm telling you now, stop. You're wasting your time trying to bring about the change. You're not going to soften their heart. They're not listening to you. So you loosen these shackles that you placed around yourself from trying to help change these people. You take those shackles off because it's been holding you back. You let it go. Now I know this isn't going to be easy, and I know that you're going to be challenged in your emotions over this. But you have got to trust me that I know what I'm doing. And when I tell you to stop, to let it go, and to quit trying to change this person, you've got to do it. If you don't do this, you are going to reach the point to where I'm going to have to let you go. This doesn't mean that you'll miss out in spending eternity with me. But what it means is, I'm going to have to let you go because you're not coming with me. I'll leave you where you are, and you'll continue to try and change this person. You will continue to try to soften their heart, change their way of thinking. And then when you finally stand before me, you're going to understand what I was saying to you this night. So I'm telling you now, I'm letting you know ahead of time, let it go. Let it go. I know you love them. But you've got to remember, I love them more than you do. I know you care. I know you want to see the change. I see your heart. I see the hurt in your heart. But please believe me when I tell you that my heart goes out more than yours. So please listen to me. Please. I love you. I love you so much that I would take this time to speak this thing to you. stop trying to change them. It is never going to happen in your entire life. Never. Let them go. I'll use an example for you that may help you. Do you remember when Pilate said that he washed his hands of my blood? You wash your hands of their change. Make a decision this night to stop trying to change that person. And if you do, and if you free yourself up from this, I'm going to be able to take you into the fullness of what I have ordained for you from before the foundation of the world. Cut it off, and cut it off now. It's only hurting you. You see, these are things that many people in my church do not want to hear. It's because that so many wrong things have been taught about how you are to relate to others, especially your loved ones. You've been taught that you are to continue to stay with them and to stay on them and to continue to try to bring about change in their life. And I tell you, that is not the way it works. So hear me this night, and please listen to me. Once again, cut it off. Stop it. Stop trying to change their hardened heart and hardened mind. You're not going to do it. Go forward from this day. Go forward with me. Let them see the change in you. But go forward with me. And as long as you allow me to keep working in you, you will continue to conform to me and fulfill what I have ordained for you to do. For I've said unto you that too much is given, much is required. That has always been true. The much that has been given to you, you are required to live it and to share it. You're going to have opportunities to serve me in ways that you have not imagined. I am seeking for you to help me. I cannot do this by myself. I need you. I need you to help me. You do not fully understand everything that you've been given. You do not fully understand everything that's been shared with you. You appreciate. You're grateful. But you don't understand the fullness of it. You see, the things that I have shared with you, things that you have received over the years here, are things that I would want the entire body to know. But until I can find people who will share it, then others will not hear it. For the only reason that you know what you know is because someone shared it with you. They received it from me and then shared it with you. Yes, it's true, you could have received these things on your own. However, you hadn't been told how. There are many that need to know these things. Things that you know. In the days to come, I am going to be giving you opportunities to do this. Your faith is going to be tested. I am going to be calling upon you to do more than you ever have. I'm going to be calling upon you to get involved more than you ever have. I'm going to be calling upon you to step out more than you ever have. Now, if you'll do this,
you are going to touch the lives of millions. You see, I look for churches that will grow in me to the point that I can begin to pour through them. And I want you to know that yes, there are a lot of very good churches throughout this land. However, there are not that many churches through which I truly can pour myself out. I keep finding limitations. I keep finding that they'll go so far and then stop. But if you won't stop, I will use you to touch the lives of millions. Hear me, says the Lord. I will use you to touch the lives of millions. I'll do a work through you that will far exceed the things that churches many times your size have been able to do. That's because they have stopped me. But if you don't, I can multiply the effect of what you're doing, and you will touch the lives of millions. So hear me now. You've come to this point. Don't stop. Keep going. You're getting closer and closer to something that is absolutely magnificent. You have had casualties along the way, but I knew this ahead of time. And as I've shared before, do not be surprised if you see more casualties. But to those of you who remain strong, there is something tremendous awaiting you. So I would ask you, do you want to be used of me? Do you truly want to be used of me? Do you really want to touch the lives of millions? Do you want to walk in a new level of faith? Do you want to walk in a new dimension of my glory? It is very possible. Keep walking into me, and you'll see this thing happen. The time is short. I must move quickly, and I will move through you.
I would say to my children, drink of my Spirit. Drink of my Spirit. Just as you thirst for water, thirst for me, my children. I love you. Oh, taste and see that I am good. I will fill you where those places that are empty in your heart. I will fill you. Taste and see that I am good, and I will fill you. Worship me in spirit. Worship me in truth. I will fill you. I will fill you.
The heaviness that you've been feeling, you've been wondering how come it is that I won't lift it and why I won't take it away from you. And I have been wondering how come you won't cast the care of it over onto me. You're waiting on me, and I'm waiting on you. And one of us is going to have to give on this. And I can tell you now, it's not going to be me. I am not going to take something from you that you're not willing to let go of. Now, what you've been struggling with, some of it is because of your own doing. And if you search your heart, you're going to know that this is true. But the burden of this thing, the burden that you've been feeling, I want you to know today, it is never going to lift from you until you decide to cast it over onto me. You're not going to bring about the solution, and you're not going to bring about the answer. But you've been overly concerned, you've worried, and you've let it become a heaviness in your life. That's why your worship is hindered. It's why you're not free in me the way you could be. It's not my fault. For I have already told you in my word that if you'll cast your burdens on me, that I'll take them. So the choice is really up to you. If you want to walk free of this thing, if you want to feel this burden removed, this yoke taken away, if you want that to happen, you can. You absolutely can. But you're going to have to turn it over to me and stop carrying the weight of it. And if you do, you are going to experience relief. And here's what you need to do. You need to make a conscious and honest decision to let go, to turn it loose. You have to do that. That's where it starts. Then the next thing that you need to do is praise me and worship me for removing this burden. Praise me and worship me for receiving it from off of you like I said I would. Now when you do this, you're going to feel this thing lift. When you do this, you're going to feel a release. And you are going to feel different than you used to. So today I'm telling you what you need to do. I'm giving you the answer to this thing. Now if you'll go with it, you'll experience the results that I've just told you. And if you don't, you'll continue to carry this thing day after day after day after day. And it's going to interfere with a lot of things in your life. But it doesn't have to be that way. So I would encourage you, right now, this day, make a decision. A decision to do what I've instructed. And experience the freedom that I have promised you in my words as a spirit of grace. Serving me is all about change. Too many of my children look at their life with me through their eyes, and they don't understand my perspective. You see, life with me is all about change. I would say it to you this way, in a way that you have not thought. When it comes to living in me, there is stability in change. And I will explain to you what I mean. You did not become my child until you changed. You changed by accepting my son as your savior. That was your first change. But from that moment on, it is my intention for your life to be a series of changes. Those changes do not produce instability, but what they do is produce stability in me. But too often, there are those of mine who view the change as being too hard, too difficult, too impossible, and not stable. I would say to you that that is thinking with the natural mind, not with the mind of Christ. I would give you an example. Consider my servant Paul. You read about him in the book of Acts. And if you recall, at one point in his life, he had made a decision to go into Asia to preach my gospel. But through my Holy Spirit, I corrected him and sent him to Macedonia. In other words, the thing that he thought was the right thing to do was actually the thing that needed to be changed. It wasn't that what he thought of doing was a wrong thing, but it was not the right thing that I wanted him to do. Likewise, for many of you, you're going to be brought to points of change, and you must make the change. There are those of you who have already encountered changes that I've wanted to do in your life that you thought absolutely did not make sense. But you chose to make that change, and when you did, you found out how much sense it really did make. Choices that can bring criticism from friends and family, and maybe doubts in your own mind, because it just doesn't seem to be the smart thing to do. However, I do not operate by natural smarts. I operate by spiritual smarts. And so the changes that I would speak to you and tell you to make are changes that are going to enable you to conform more and more to the image of my Son. So hear me. Hear me this day. You must fight your flesh and make whatever change needs to be made. In some cases, it's going to seem like a rather drastic thing that I am asking you to do. But I'm telling you, make the change and follow me. If you do not spend time in my presence, you will not clearly hear me to know the changes that I want you to make. Do not go by your flesh. Go by my leading. And I lead you by your spirit. So do what I tell you and change. And continue to head in the direction that I lead. Because you see, I am leading you into deeper realms of my glory than you have ever known. And it's going to take change. Your past must remain your past. Keep going forward in me. Let me lead you. Take you to where I want you to be. And you will understand it when you get there. Yes, it's a walk of faith, but remember this. If I'm asking you to make change, then I will strengthen you to make the change. So don't fear about not being able. Look unto me, my strength, and you will be able, and you can make those changes. There are more traditions than what you realize. For the most part, people come to a place like this looking for my glory. And it isn't that that's wrong. It's just that there are far too many who think that this is where my glory is supposed to manifest, and so they don't look for me anywhere else. They don't look for a manifestation of my glory on their jobs. They don't look for a manifestation of my glory in their homes, on the street. Essentially, what they've done is boxed me into their buildings. It isn't that my glory can't manifest everywhere else. It's that people have become accustomed to expect my glory in church, but they don't expect it anywhere else. Now I want to point you to my word. Go to my word and just start reading. And I want you to notice how many times that my glory manifested outside of the tabernacle, outside of the synagogues. I want you to notice how many times my glory manifested away from those places that you would call church. So why is it that now my glory is expected to manifest in your church, but nowhere else? You see, when you come to church expecting my glory to manifest, it can manifest. And it manifests differently at different times, just like it did in my word. However, you need to begin expecting my glory to manifest outside of your buildings. You see, it was a manifestation of my glory outside of the building that brought revival to Samaria. Remember what happened when Philip preached. He wasn't in their churches. He manifested my word to them wherever they were. It was not restricted to a building. Likewise with my son Jesus, likewise with my servant Paul, likewise with others. So my challenge to you this night is to expand your thinking and to stop feeling as though my glory can only manifest when you come together in a church service. Start seeing yourself as a vessel of my glory. For have I not said that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Therefore, wherever you are, it is Christ in you. And because it is Christ in you, you have a hope of manifested glory. Anywhere. Absolutely anywhere. So start seeing yourself as someone through whom I would like to manifest my glory. And think of this. I want my glory manifested not just in your churches in front of those that are my children. I want my glory manifested everywhere. I want my glory manifested in front of people that don't know my son. Because you see, when that happens, that's going to draw people to my son. But you see, it's those religious traditions, those things that creep in that you sometimes don't even know are there. And it causes people to begin to think of me in a way that is confining, restrictive. So I say, don't restrict me. Don't confine me. Expand your thinking of how and where my glory can manifest. And when you do, and you begin to prepare yourself for my glory to be released, don't be surprised when I start moving through you. Don't be surprised if my glory manifests through you at the grocery store, the gas station, as you're taking a walk and you meet people, as you're shopping at the mall. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Because you see, this is what I want. Remember, I want to draw all people to my son Jesus Christ. And I want them to know him. So look for my glory beyond your church buildings. Look for my glory wherever you are. For if you could see into the realm of the Spirit and see what I see when you worship me, you would worship me. You'd worship me more than you do now. If you could see what happens when you begin to pour your heart out unto me in praise and worship, you would be excited about your praise and worship. You would be excited about the opportunities to worship me. If you could see what's happening in spiritual warfare when you praise me and worship me, you would look forward to the opportunities to worship me and to praise me. Please believe me when I tell you that you are attacking the enemy through your praise and worship. Please believe me when I tell you that your praise and worship, it establishes, as it were, a cloud of my glory in your presence. And it is my glory which brings about confusion in the camp of the enemy. Therefore, when you praise me and you worship me, you must believe me when I tell you that you are working confusion in the camp of the enemy. Oh, if you could see in the realm of the Spirit what I see when you praise me and you worship me. So again, please believe me when I tell you, pour your heart out, worship me. Remember what I said. God is a spirit, and He seeks those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for people who will do that. So worship me and praise me with all your heart. Focus on me. And work a work in your own life through your praise and worship that will not only bring about a greater manifestation of my presence, but it will also help you to break free of the attacks of the enemy. My son gave you warnings. And he spoke that there would be wars and rumors of wars. So hear what I have to say this night. At this moment, plans are being made for a fresh attack on this nation. Plans are being made to take many lives. You must understand that you are not dealing with people, but you are dealing with demons. I said in my word that evil would rise up. I said it would become stronger. It isn't that the evil itself is becoming stronger. It's just that men are hardening their hearts more and more to me. And the more that they harden their hearts to me, the more they are opening their hearts to the enemy. For did I not say, did my son not tell you in my word, when speaking with the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the Jews, did he not say that you are of your father the devil and the lust of your father ye will do? Nothing has changed. And even this night, plans are being laid for another attack on this nation. So prepare yourself. Your president is going to take increased heat and pressure from the critics who do not know me and will not turn to me. I am working with that man, but he is going to take increased criticism. You see, the stage is being laid even now. Things are being set in place to try and replace him with someone who will lead you into greater apostasy. Listen. Listen closely. For before the next election, a new voice is going to rise up in this nation. And it will be a voice of evil. It will be a voice of wickedness. And though the voice will sound smooth and sweet, it is a voice in opposition to me. You do not realize this, but there are those who have once served me, but are joining together to try to bring about an acceptance of pure evil in this land. They are having their meetings. And at times they are even joining with those who have never professed me. And what they are wanting to do is to try and force this nation to accept their perversions and their ungodly lusts. Yes, this is rising up from within what some people would call the church. But I have nothing to do with this. They are going to try and draw a connection between me, the Holy Spirit, and their perversions. Do not give them ear, for some of them already have mighty voices in this land and have spoken in many of my churches. But they are turning from me. What is happening is that a coalition of evil is being formed within this nation to try to bring about in the next election someone whose heart is given to the devil and not to me. Many people have blamed me for the conditions of this country. Do not blame me. Blame yourselves. For you have had the vote. And I am telling you now, you must begin to intercede. You had better intercede so that those who name the name of Jesus will rise up and cast votes in my direction, and that the candidates who will stand up for me and for my word and what is right will be elected. Because if you do not do this, the time of peace in this country has come to an end. Listen to what I say. You are going to hear a new voice rise up in this nation. And along with this, before this year is out, you are going to hear a new name and a new voice rise up in connection with things that are happening in the Middle East. Now, this person is not someone who is completely new, but it's someone whose name is not common. This person at times is going to sound as though they have wonderful ideas, great ideas. But I am telling you, it is a trap, and you must pray for the political leaders of this country not to give in to what this person is saying. They must take a stand, and here's what will happen if they take this stand. They are going to take a lot of pressure internationally, and because of this pressure, embargoes will be leveled against this country, and prices for things will continue to increase. But do not fear, because I have said that I will supply all of your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The time to pray and intercede is now, not when these things happen, but now. You see, it is possible for some of these things to be averted. Just because I tell you what can happen does not mean that is what has to happen. I am warning you ahead of time of what will happen if my people do not take a stand and fight this thing in the realm of the Spirit. But you need to know that plans are being laid even now by those who hate this nation to bring about greater destruction and take more lives. You see, the people that hate this country, they don't even know why they hate this country. Those that hate this nation, they don't know why. They cannot give you an explanation, because the conditions in this country are the very things they want. But the reason they hate this nation and hate this people is because they have given themselves over to the devil, and they have accepted his religion and have chosen to live according to his ways, and they are not listening to me. I am trying to speak to them. And there are those within their ranks who are leaders that have heard me as I have spoken through my servants, but they have rejected what I have said. So listen closely to what I have told you this night, and know that these things are coming to pass. Plans are being laid for another attack on this nation, for destruction and the taking of lives. A new voice is going to rise up on the political scene of this country, a voice of deception. And a new name and a new voice will come to the forefront related to the things of the Middle East. This too is a lie. This too is deception. So pray that these voices will not have the impact, will not have the effect that Satan wants them to have. You have the ability, as my children, to fight off many things of the enemy. And I would tell you this night that there are things which have happened in this country, things of the enemy, that could have been averted if my people had prayed. So pray, intercede. You are not going to be able to completely stop what has been prophesied, those things that you've seen in the book of Revelation. You are not going to be able to stop these things from happening. But there are some things you can prevent. It is not my will for the devastation to take place. It is not my will for these bad things to happen. But I will work through you if you give yourself to me. So mark this night and look in the days to come. These things will happen. But fear not. For I, the Lord your God, am your exceeding great reward. Fear not. For I am still God. Fear not. For the day is coming when Satan and his horde will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. I am still God, and I will not be overthrown. So rest in this and walk in my peace as these things begin to transpire, and I will strengthen your heart, says the Lord. Many people believe that walking in my peace means your problems have been solved. But I would have you think about that and consider the fact that anyone alive feels as though they're walking in peace when they're not facing problems. It doesn't matter if they're born again or not. They feel like they're walking in peace when they're not facing problems. But walking in my peace means that you are walking in trust, trusting that I have your best interests in my heart, trusting that I have a solution for the problems that you face. For you see, you only know when you're walking in my peace when you face problems and react to them. When you're walking in my peace, you will have that peace in the face of the problems, in the midst of the trials. As you're going through the very tough times, your heart will not fret, your mind will not become worried, you will not be consumed with thoughts of how is this going to end. When you're walking in my peace, you can literally be walking through what seems like the fires of hell, but still have comfort in your heart, knowing that no matter what the outcome, I'm holding you in the palm of my hand. And there are many of my children that think they're walking in peace because they're not facing problems. But the moment that a problem arises, they become worried. They become concerned. They become at times even confused, wondering where I am. They're not walking in my peace. When you walk in my peace, it guards your heart and your mind. This means that you will not be troubled. It does not mean that you ignore those circumstances. It means that you will not be troubled by those circumstances. So you know whether or not you're walking in my peace, depending upon how you react emotionally to the problems that you're facing. The only way to truly walk in my peace is to truly know me. For the more that you know me, the more that you're going to understand that I never leave and I never forsake, that I am always there, that I am God, that I have an answer, and that I am ministering on your behalf. When you're walking in my peace, the problems may seem insurmountable, but you will know that I am there, and you will know that the problem is not insurmountable, but that it is something you can overcome. Please remember this. Not all circumstances change the way that you like them, but you can still walk in my peace. You see, the things that have been done in the past cannot be undone. However, you can walk in my peace as you face the circumstances that have arisen from the things that have happened. And no matter how bad it seems, my peace will guard your heart and your mind against worry, against frustration, against despair, against all of these things that could produce an atmosphere of confusion in your life. Because if you are walking in confusion, you will miss my voice, you will not hear me, and you will make choices that lead you in the wrong direction. But when you're walking in my peace, you are not going to worry about your circumstances. No matter what they are, you will not worry. So get to know me. Draw close to me. Know me intimately. And you will experience my peace, and you will walk in it, and you will know that I am your God.
During the worship service on Sunday morning, I began to wonder why it is that a two-year-old baby will start to move and dance when music begins to play, even if it is a song and the singers are not singing in the language of the baby's parents. I also thought of people who will begin to tap their feet, tap their fingers, tap a pencil on a desk, or begin to move to the music, even subconsciously, and wondered why music has this effect on people. The Lord began to speak the following. It's because music has a way to penetrate the spirit that man has not yet discovered. Music was designed to help man have a deeper spiritual experience with me. This is why there is so much in Scripture about praising and worshiping me. Your minds simply cannot comprehend the depths to which music can touch your spirit. Music is not a tangible thing, but it can be felt by your senses while being experienced by your spirit. Satan knows this and has known it from the beginning. Music can open an avenue to your spirit. If the words accompanied by the music glorify the things of sin, then your spirit becomes susceptible to the temptations of that sin. This is how Satan is able to speak to so many people. He does it through the music they hear. Consider the stories you hear of criminals who said voices spoke to them and told them what to do while they listened to certain kinds of music. Music can even be used to create an atmosphere. This is why certain kinds of music are exciting, some are relaxing, some are peaceful, and some are distracting. Have you ever noticed that fast music and slow music can produce different kinds of behavior in people? Satan has learned how to use various forms of music to create atmospheres wherein the presence of demons is tolerated and the people do not become fearful. It is in this kind of atmosphere that many horrible acts of sin can be planned. I created music. What does my word say about me? It says that I am a spirit, and those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Thus, music is spiritual in nature because it originated with me. Yes, I created music, but Satan has perverted the original intent of music. Just like I am present in music that flows with my original intent, it is through that perversion that Satan and his devils are able to operate more effectively. Consider what you know of many warlike cultures throughout history. Study them and examine the behavior they demonstrated before entering into battle. Most of them have used music to prepare for the battle. The purpose of that music and the songs they sing is to dull the senses. They can actually lose their sense of self-preservation. The music, its beat, and the songs and chanting create an almost hypnotic effect on the participants. In some cases, it opened them to devils who would fight through them. Think about the Gadarene demoniac and the devils which operated through him. Music that is played to glorify me can take you to a place in me unlike anything else. As I said, music can open an avenue to your spirit. Remember how David would play music and the troubling spirit would leave King Saul? This same thing is true for today. The emotional problems a lot of people experience could be solved if they would just subject themselves to music that glorifies me. Even if they do not sing along, just being in the atmosphere created by that music can bring about a healing. When you choose to sing along with the music, you can increase the effect that the music will have on you. It is very important that you focus on the words that you sing. This can cause you to become more sensitive to what I am doing in you through your worship. You do not need to have music actually playing when you worship me. My word says to sing a new song unto me. This does not mean that you have to have music. It means that you create the music as you sing. In your church, you call this free worship. It is something you can do almost anywhere at any time. Now consider what my son, the Apostle Paul, wrote. As he taught the Corinthian church on the use of tongues and their manifestation, he said he would pray with the Spirit and with the understanding, and he would sing with the Spirit and with the understanding. He had a revelation of singing in tongues that few people have ever understood. Because of this lack of understanding, many people have unfairly criticized singing in tongues. They have prevented it, rebuked those who did it, and incorrectly taught about it. The result is that many of my children have missed out on much that I could have been doing in their lives. Read again what Paul wrote to the Corinthians and leave his words in context. He said he would pray and sing with the Spirit and with the understanding if he was in a congregational setting. He explained that the reason he would do this was in case there was someone next to him who did not understand what he was doing as he sang and prayed in tongues. But nowhere did he say he was interpreting the tongues he sang and prayed, just that he would do both with the spirit and with the understanding. Now think about what you're doing when you pray in tongues. You're edifying yourself, but you do not have an instruction that you must have the interpretations of the tongue you pray. If you are at home praying in tongues, you do not have to immediately receive an interpretation of what you have prayed. Notice that Paul made reference to singing in tongues right along with praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, it is me, by the Holy Spirit, praying in you, through you, the very thing you need to pray at that moment. The result is that you are edified. When you sing in tongues, your spirit is singing, but your mind is unfruitful. Yet the words that come out are from me by the Holy Spirit. This too will produce edification. But when you sing in tongues, you are putting the words of your edification to music. Remember, again, that I said music can open an avenue to your spirit. As you speak those words in tongues, you are receiving edification in your spirit. But the music you create as you sing those tongues will enable me to minister to your spirit as you are edified. Some have taught that there must be an interpretation if a person sings in tongues. This is not true. I have at times given the gift of tongues and interpretation in song during a service, but just like praying in tongues, it is not necessary to always have an interpretation when singing in the Spirit. Once more, think of what Paul wrote about praying and singing with both the Spirit and the understanding. He made reference to this happening in a congregational setting, and he did not say he was interpreting the tongues of his prayer or his song. Therefore, know that it is acceptable for a congregation to both pray and sing with the Spirit and the understanding. Do not take all of this and go off on a tangent. Do not begin to think that you must sing in tongues every time you begin to edify yourself. This is how wrong doctrine comes about. Truth is taken to an abnormal extreme and becomes an inappropriate dogma. So again I say, I created music as a way to have a deeper experience with me. If you choose to worship me, particularly through your free worship in private and in your church services, you will have my presence. For some, the deeper experience that they are seeking with me will come if they will enter into free worship. Have you ever wondered why I chose the 12 that I chose? Out of all the disciples who were with me, who had spent a night with me while I prayed all night, why were those specific 12 chosen? It is because the Father told me to choose only those 12. But why those specific men, especially since one of them would betray me? Those 12 were chosen because they were prepared to serve. There were many with me that day, but out of them all, only those 12 were at a place where they were ready to serve me. When you read the Scriptures, this may not be so readily understood, but you need to look beyond the four Gospels to see what they did. At the time they were chosen, they were still lost with a sin nature. But the Father saw in them things similar to what he had seen in people like Abraham, Moses, David, and others. Even though they were lost, they still had a heart to serve me. Do not forget that the 12 were able to carry my anointing to heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead. This anointing did not come from within them, but from upon them as I ministered to them. The Father saw that those 12 were ready to go forward with the gospel and my anointing to reach the world with my love and salvation. My responsibility was to train them while I was with them and to point them to the Holy Spirit, who would pick up their training and continue it after I was gone. Even Judas could have done this had he not killed himself. You see, he did not betray me because he hated me. Otherwise, he would have kept the 30 pieces of silver and not been concerned about it being blood money. He betrayed me because he chose a path of confusion, and the course to that path is deception. Yes, it was prophesied that one would betray me, but the prophecy did not force Judas to betray me, neither did it violate his will. The prophecy simply foretold of a decision one of my disciples would make. Out of all the disciples who were with me on the morning I came down from that mountain, those 12 were the most ready to go forward with me. I did not choose them out of my flesh or mind, but out of my spirit, as the Father spoke to me. Now think very closely about this. Out of all those who were with me, only those individuals named were ready to go forward with me. I would have chosen anyone the Father identified because it was not up to me. But I only chose those he wanted chosen. All the others were disciples too, but they were not ready to follow me. The same thing is happening today. There are so many in my body. There are so many who have called upon me to be saved. There are so many who call me Savior and declare my name to others. There are so many who even preach from pulpits, from platforms and crusades, on street corners, in jungles, and many other places. They all love me, and they all desire to follow me. But out of all of them, only a very few have hearts that are truly ready to follow me in the way I desire. These few are the only ones who I can take into the levels of my glory where my fullness is manifested. These are the places of revival, of miracles, of spiritual milk and honey. These are the places of my presence, a presence that is so real that you will think at times that I am physically in the room with you. Each generation has had people who have been qualified to go that deeply into me, and out of those, even fewer have made the journey. But this generation is different. There are more who are ready than ever before. Yet, it will only be after this generation has passed that we can look back and know who made the journey and who did not. The thing which qualifies a person to be so used by me is their attitude toward the things of me. You see, unless a person is ready and willing for constant change and confirmation to my image, he is not qualified. Nearly all of my church says that they are ready and claim to have such an attitude, but this is coming from their mind and not their heart. When it comes from the heart, they will fight for change and refuse to be held back by the things of man. To be one of the 12 is not easy. It requires a total restructuring of your life and time. It requires you to receive from me my vision of what needs to be done. It requires you to go where I send you, speak only what I say, and die out to yourself. I have given to you everything you need to do this. I have made everything available. But it is up to you to utilize what I have made available. I am willing to accept anyone as one of my 12. If you will commit to me in this fashion, you will walk in what many would call a Book of Acts anointing. You will walk in that level of wisdom, grace, love, and power. The choice is yours, and I am present to help you.
For my majesty will be known in this place. Again, I say, my majesty will be known in this place. Because you see, the more that you seek me, the more that you enter into my presence, is the more that I am able to establish my presence in this place. Because you see, as you praise, as you worship, as you seek me in prayer, as you conform to my image, you are constructing a place in the realm of the Spirit where I can take up residence, a place where I can establish my presence. And I tell you now, my majesty will be known in this place if you continue on the path where you're headed. My majesty will be known in such a way to where when people walk in this place, they are going to sense my presence before one song is sung and before one word is preached. They will sense me. They will sense me in a powerful way. They will sense me in a way to where suddenly the eyes of their understanding will be opened and they are going to receive information, teaching, knowledge, instruction from me, things that they have been seeking for so long just because my presence is heavy in this place. So I speak these words of encouragement to you this night. You keep doing what you are doing. Keep praying. Keep worshiping. Keep seeking. And you will experience my majesty in this place, says the Lord.
Although you cannot see it in the natural, certain churches are the spiritual hub for an area. There are not many churches walking in my truth. Pray that these churches begin to press into my word and realize the power that is resident in the Holy Spirit. You, each prayer warrior, are the ones I have called to sound the alarm. Pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on those that are seeking a deeper walk with me. Today and in the days coming, the power and strength that comes from the Holy Spirit will be the important weapon needed to fight against principalities and powers. Those that do not have a desire for a deeper walk and are not seeking all that I have ready to give will fall by the wayside, unable to stop the enemy's advances. Pray, seek, ask, and I will give unto you every weapon necessary to fight my battle, for it is my battle, but I need you to do the trench work, calling down every evil work of the enemy. Do not worry about circumstances, things happening in the natural world. I am the Lord thy God. Be diligent in prayer, and I will deliver each situation as my word says. How I love you and your perseverance to seek me. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Be bold, be strong, says the Lord. Those who withhold their finances are actually being used of Satan to hinder the purposes of the kingdom. They do not see this, as they have allowed themselves to be blinded by the things of their soul. They are walking in my forgiveness, but they are not walking in my pleasure or my favor, says the Lord. I am coming with a vengeance to judge sin, but my judgment will be in love, not as the world judges. This judgment will not be of the sin in the world, but of the sin in my church. It will not manifest in the way man would imagine, but in a way to bring conviction and save souls. Yes, I said save souls, the souls of my children who are headed in a direction that would take them from me. One of the greatest things I could do for a person is remove my blessings and anointing from those in ministry who are not walking in truth. I will always honor truth, but many have created their own type of anointing through their personality and works. My heart grieves for my children who have been misled by such ministries. When my children are misled by that non-truth and works-based false anointing, I call it sin. Would you like to know what I look for? I look for the same doctrine and teaching that I gave to the church, that which was preached by the apostles and was recorded in my word. This includes what I have said about healing, prosperity, righteousness, holiness, justification, callings, and all else that will enable you to conform to the image of my Son. Compare what I have said to what is preached and taught. When you find a discrepancy, you have found a works-based doctrine contrived and developed by man. Why would you want to be a part of such a church or support such a ministry? Why would you say that I bless that which takes my children down a path of lies and away from me? My children are too willing to accept anyone who preaches that my Son is the way to salvation. My children, most of my church, are not living at a spiritual level of even that of the Corinthians when Paul wrote to them. I say this to my church, reject anything which does not line up with my word. Learn to be subjective about what you see, hear, and receive. You have put up with and willingly accepted too much junk that cannot be supported by truth. What I see is a bunch of undisciplined children chasing after anything that gives them a religious sense of pleasure. Don't you understand that you are going to be judged over this? It's time you stopped playing your self-centered religious games and started living a Christ-centered life. When you compare my word to what is preached and taught by churches and ministries and see a discrepancy, you have identified a problem in my body. Remember, a cancer in the human body is still a part of that body. But if left untreated, it will work to destroy healthy cells. I see any doctrine which does not line up with my word as a cancer in my body. And yet, many of my children are willingly introducing this cancer into their lives. Judge yourself and deal with this now. Listen to me and get in the church where I want you. Don't worry about distance or inconvenience. I can make the inconvenient convenient.
I can change your circumstances, but you must change the attitude of your heart. Did I not say in my word that I would give you shepherds after my own heart, those who would feed you from my table? Listen to me and give to the churches and ministries, I tell you. Stop supporting those which spread the disease of wrong doctrine. You have not yet figured out the fullness of what I can do or how I can move. This is why many of you do not obey these things. You are afraid and fearful of hardship. There are those who will hear these things and reject them. Their security is in their religion and not in me. I love them, but they are hurting themselves. Do not confuse my love with approval of wrong. For those who hear and receive these things, begin to take action. Do what I say and dwell where I am, says the Lord. Come into a place with me where you've never been and experience my presence like never before. I have an anointing for you that you have not yet touched. It is an anointing of power to be demonstrated for my glory. There are greater levels of anointing available to my church, unlike anything they have ever expected. In my presence is the place of that anointing. As you prepare your vessel, which is your spirit, I will release this anointing proportionately. But the key is in the preparation, not the release. I will always release my anointing to fill a prepared vessel. This is where many of my children are confused. They are expecting this anointing to fill them in their churches, but this is not how it will happen. They can be touched by my anointing in a church service, but they are filled as they stay in my presence. Staying in my presence is a time of preparing your vessel. If you will spend more time like this with me, you will hear and you will increase your preparation. I am prepared to pour out an anointing you have not imagined. Prepare yourself, and you will receive it, says the Lord. The Lord says, many people have implied that my love is conditional or that it is no better than human love. My love is deity love. This means it comes forth out of absolute pure deity, something your human mind cannot understand. This is why my love must be accepted by faith. If my love is so conditional, show me those conditions in my word. Prove to me where I have put prerequisites on my love. Put me in remembrance of the things I require of you before I will love you. Have I not said in my word that you are to love others as I love you? If my love is conditional, then I am telling you to love conditionally. What then are the conditions others must meet before you love them? If my love is conditional, then so is salvation. You see, in order for you to be born again, I must love you, or else I will not extend my life to you. Have I not said in my word that the requirement to be born again is to put your faith totally in my Son? If this is true, then it means I already love you because you would not be able to put your faith in something love has not made available. Too often you judge my love by your circumstances, the way you think. Nothing bad would ever happen if I truly loved you. The way you think, my love would be demonstrated by keeping you from all problems. What you fail to understand is that the world you live in is yours, not mine. If you were living up here with me, then you would never experience bad things or problems. The reason this is true is because I am in control of my world. Please keep in mind that I created your world, but gave it to you for you to be in charge and for you to subdue. If you want to know how my love is demonstrated, then it would do you good to examine the life of my Son. He was born into a world of sin, but with my life and nature. He did not change the world, but he subdued it. I met his every need because daily he looked to me as his source of life and provision. Did I keep him from criticism? Did I keep him from attack? Or have you forgotten the times people took hold of him intending to kill him? Did I keep him from facing problems in the natural, such as bad weather? Did he have the perfect life you think you should have if I truly loved you? You have questioned my love because you have seen many saints die young. Some of you have even accused me of taking them. But once again, please consider my son. Few of my children have ever been the object of such pure hatred as my son. Few of my children have faced such an intense desire on the part of others to kill him. Yet, he did not die until the time came for him to give up his life. I tell you this night that far too many of my children have been martyred needlessly. Far too many of them have stepped out to do a good work for me, but have been completely out of my will, and this has led to their death. Such a thing is not at all pleasing to me. Again, I want to remind you that your world is not mine. In mine, I am in total control, and everything goes according to my will. You can see my will accomplished in your world and in your life, just like it was in my son's life. But you must do as he did and subdue your world. Consider what I said in my word in Hebrews 11:33-34. Who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This passage is to serve as an example to you. The kingdoms you are to subdue are the powers and principalities of Satan's kingdom. The righteousness you are to establish and live by is mine in you. The promises you are to obtain are the ones I have given you in my word. The lion's mouths you are to stop are the lying mouths of your enemy. The violence of fire you are to quench is the attacks and fiery darts of the enemy. The edge of the sword you are to escape are the plans the enemy has for your destruction. The weakness you are to come out of is your own. The strength you are to enter is mine. The fight in which you are to be valiant is the good fight of faith. The armies of the aliens you are to turn to flight are the armies of your enemy. I have made it possible for you to subdue your world and live as my son lived. If I did not love you, I would not have given you the weapons of your warfare. If I did not love you, I would not have made provision for you to be able to subdue your world. Please, do not judge my love by what you see. Judge my love by what I have said in my word. If you will take the time to really study my word and meditate on what it says about my love, you will stop thinking that I do not love you and that I have not been to you the God you need. Remember, my love is deity love and comes forth out of absolute pure deity. You cannot understand the fullness of what that means, but you can accept what I have said in my word. Accept my word. Believe what I have said and know that I love you. You have been battling times of loneliness. It's not there all the time, but the Lord wants you to know that He realizes this, and He wants you to be encouraged that this loneliness really can be overcome in His presence. But He also wants you to know that in this loneliness, you must guard your heart and protect yourself concerning the relationships that you may enter into. Be very cautious about entering into a relationship with somebody who seems to be everything that you desire, someone who could fill those gaps, that loneliness. The Lord says, be very cautious about what you do concerning that relationship, because everything you see is not everything that the Lord sees. And so He wants you to know that you need to be very cautious and not rush into a relationship just because it seems like the right thing. And don't let your emotions cloud your judgment to where you think you've heard the Lord speak and tell you that this is the right thing when actually it's not. The Lord says, be patient and lean totally and completely upon me, and I will minister to you concerning that loneliness. Rely on me for the strength of your relationships, and I will guide you and I will lead you. And if you will wait and be patient, the right person and even people will enter into your life. But be very cautious about making a hasty judgment concerning a relationship, and don't get before the Lord. The Lord says, you have asked me for a word, asked me for things to say. I will tell you many things, of things that are and those that are to come. But take heed, most of my children who hear what I say are excited to receive such a word from the Lord, but very few apply or take to heart what I say. Even you have taken lightly many of the things I said to you. But I love my children and will continue to speak, even if just for the sake of those who will hear and act. As you have read in both Hebrews and Corinthians, man cannot know me according to the flesh. Allow me to share with you what is going on in my church. There are many, many churches that I call my own, those which share the plan of my gospel and lead people to be born again. But they are also teaching people to know me according to the flesh. Even most of the churches that will go so far as to lead people to be filled with my Holy Spirit are teaching their members to know me according to the flesh. You see, it is possible to know very much about me according to the flesh, but I must explain what that means. Think of those who have gone before you, those who are listed in my word. Think of Abraham, David, Isaiah, Daniel, Moses, and all of those who are considered heroes and examples, those who are identified in the Old Testament. Many of my children have longed to have a relationship with me the way these mighty soldiers did. But what you don't understand is that all of them, hear me, I said all of them, only knew me according to the flesh or the area of their soul. They could not know me according to the Spirit because not one of them had my life in them. They were not born again. Even so, they had a very strong relationship with me, as strong as was possible with the sin nature. They committed themselves to me as best as they could. They loved me as best as they could. They served me as best as they could. But it all came from the soul because their spirit was dead in my sight. When those saints of old taught others about me, it was teaching according to the flesh, the soulish part of who they were. They could not lead others toward a deeper spiritual walk with me because their spirits were not capable of being my dwelling place. Yet, generation after generation learned of me and served me as much as they possibly could, though it was out of the flesh. Even John the Baptist served me out of the flesh, his soul, because he was not spiritually new. This is what is happening year after year in my church. Your preachers and teachers are pointing my children to the flesh, the soul. They are not directing them to a deeper spiritual relationship with me. Over and over, my children are told to serve me, but according to what they think I want them to do. They know about giving a cup of cold water to a prophet, so they do that. They know about visiting those in prison and clothing the naked and feeding the hungry, so they do that. In all of these things, they have convinced themselves that they are becoming what I want them to be. They hear of great books written about the Christian life, and so they spend hours reading those books. But this is nothing but the flesh. This is nothing but each man teaching his neighbor to know the Lord according to the soul and not the spirit. You must hear what I am saying. It is not that such acts of service are wrong or should not be done, but the focus is on the flesh and a soulless ascension to a perceived spiritual knowledge of me. Everyone who seeks to know me in this way can and will know very much about me. They can come to know me as did David, Moses, Abraham, and all the others who gave themselves to me. However, in what may come as a great surprise to many, this is not how I want you to know me. If you seek to know me as they knew me,
you will stop short of gaining spiritual revelation and understanding. They did not have the capacity to know me on a spiritual level, but you do. This means you have the ability to know me at greater depths, far beyond what anyone in the Old Testament knew of me. It is your born-again spirit that I fellowship with. The change you seek cannot come by the flesh or soul. That kind of change is nothing but you forcing yourself to do something rather than living according to spiritual change. You can only use your soul, will, and emotions for so long before you experience frustration and exasperation. This is because your soul and will are not enough to bring about permanent spiritual change. Churches of the soul are many thousands in number, but churches of the spirit are few in comparison. But you cannot tell them this because they will not hear you. And why will they not hear you? Because they are listening with their soul instead of their spirit. This is why it is so extremely difficult for a soul-oriented Christian to be happy and satisfied in a spirit-oriented church. A spirit-oriented Christian is never satisfied with soul knowledge of me. A spirit-oriented Christian will do those things which place less emphasis on the soul and more emphasis on the spirit. A spirit-oriented Christian will do those things which lead to spiritual transformation. A soul-oriented Christian will reject, refute, and even challenge the need to do that which produces true, genuine spiritual transformation. This is because there is not a feeling of satisfaction in the soul in doing those things. I have many churches of the Spirit throughout the world, but as I said, they are few in number when compared to churches of the soul. In the time to come, churches of the Spirit, which have been seeking spiritual change, are going to lose people. This is because the gap between those who are going deeper in me and those who aren't is becoming greater. Those who aren't going deeper in me will become frustrated. This frustration is because their weak spirit is hungry for me, but they are overpowering that hunger with their soul. Hear me, and hear me well. I will not lead a person from a church of the spirit to a church of the soul. If a church of the soul begins to desire the deeper things of me, I would send someone to lead them in that change. But I will not move people out of a church of the spirit to a church of the soul. Why would I lead someone to go backwards in their relationship with me? Please read what I have said in Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Some of you have felt that you have been living in a desert place, that your life has been one of confusion and disorder, having no direction. If you will make a decision to apply yourself spiritually and do what you need to experience spiritual transformation, the year to come will be what some would call a breakout year. You will be like a butterfly shedding off its cocoon. The thing that has been holding you back will be removed. I will cause life, my life, to spring up in you. You have felt that your life is dry and accomplishing little, but I will cause a river of my anointing to flow in you and through you. Your life will become something new. Stop looking back over your failures. Stop looking back at what you haven't done. Stop looking back at your wrong choices. Stop looking to your past. For as long as you are looking to your past, you will not see the new path I lay before you. And do not try to see this path with the eyes of your soul, for if you do, you will only see a path of your imaginations and try to walk on it. Such a path will only lead you away from all I desire. If you will apply yourself towards spiritual change, you will see what has been before you all along. For many of you have wondered what I have for you to do. I have shown you, but you have not seen it. It is right before your eyes, and you have looked at it week after week, but have not recognized what you were seeing. Listen closely to me. The field of your ministry is before you. Open the eyes of your spirit and step into my outstretched hands. It is there you will feel the gentleness of my love and the warmth of my passion. In that place of peace is your comfort. In that place of comfort is where you become pliable and I can mold you into my plan. There are too many of my children in churches of the Spirit who are seeking to be used of me, but are looking beyond what they are supposed to do. As I have said, it is right before your eyes. I will say it plainly. My desire is to use you in the church where you are. As you are in a church of the Spirit, it is there I will work through you spiritually. Too many of my children have tried to develop my will beyond where I want to train them. If you will not let me use you where you are, why do you think I will use you where you aren't? Churches of the Spirit will train you to pray in the Spirit, worship me, meditate in my word, and fast. Yes, you have heard these things many times, but they are still the same. Why would you think that spiritual transformation would come any other way? Remember, David, Moses, Abraham, and the others could not be transformed spiritually, but you can. This is why you must focus on your spirit rather than your soul. Don't try to be like David, Abraham, or Moses. Do your best to conform to the image of my son. These things I have said apply to the people of this church and all of my church. But now I want to speak to you at this church. I want each of you to spend some time alone with me, but I want you to think about what you have done over the past year, focusing on what you have done to change spiritually. You don't have to spend much time in prayer over this, for you know very well what you have and have not done. Now I will tell you what I will do in this church if you will let me. I will bring in new people. I will bring in people who are walking closely with me and those who are hungry to walk close with me. I will bring in people to fill in the gaps. I will bring in people to do things you do not know need to be done. I will bring in people to do what you cannot. I will bring in people with a great anointing on their lives. I will set my glory upon this place. In the Spirit, it will glow like a mighty fire. It will shine like the noonday sun. Its brilliance will blind the powers of darkness. In the Spirit, it will be like a mighty fortress housing my presence. But for this to happen, you absolutely must change what you have been doing. You absolutely must decide to get serious with me. You must cease becoming bloated on preaching and teaching and develop yourself spiritually. You must come together for times of prayer. Stop coasting on the level of anointing at which you have arrived. When I call you together for times of worship, you must be there. When I call you together for times of prayer, you must be there. Stop making your excuses and decide what you want. Do you want a church of my presence and revival, or do you want to continue at your present level? Some of you have settled into a place of complacency. Some of you have made this church your religion. Some of you have lost your vision of my glory. Some of you have substituted brass for gold. I say to you this day, shake off the dust. Forget about your plans and come deeper into me. Stop neglecting the reason I have brought you into this place, for I have great and mighty things for you to do. The days to come have miracles set aside. The days to come have glory set aside. The days to come have services scheduled which will simply overwhelm the intellect of some of you. You simply cannot imagine what I have already reserved for you. The wind of my glory is set to be released. If you prepare the vessel, I will fill it. So come, rejoice in me. Fight with a fury against anything that tries to keep you from me or would distract you from what I desire. Do not let other things or people control your life. I am Almighty God, and I welcome you into my presence. Come and see my majesty. Come and let me drape you with my glory. Come and let me saturate you with my very being. Come and know the God of your salvation.